my sweet babies. Welcome to Love Life Skills for Leaders, where we heal the past, love ourselves unconditionally, and start our love lives over from a clean slate every damn day. I'm Candace Harper, relationship coach and hypnotherapist, and I help high-performing, perfectionistic, professional people overcome loneliness and create meaningful, intimate connections. And this is a mature conversation for powerful people who want to have their best love life possible, whether they're single or coupled. Stick with me and learn why loneliness isn't contingent on whether or not you have a partner and how loneliness can be cured from the inside out. Also, make sure to subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you are watching or listening. All right, let's do this. It's another fine Saturday. I don't know why, y'all, I am so sing-songy this week because I tested positive for the Rona. And it has been a very, very rough week. If you missed that, I missed last week. And if you missed me when I missed last week, you know that, I wasn't around. And the reason I wasn't around is because I had some symptoms of the Rona, which I didn't even, I was actually traveling. I was on my way back from a really fantastic family weekend. I met my man's family, got to support my own family in some amazing accomplishments and endeavors. And on Saturday, after all of last week, I was so tired, like so much fatigue. And, you know, I'm on the perimenopausal side. So it's easy for me to just assume, okay, there was a lot of, you know, drinking and eating and dancing and kvetching. And maybe mama's just a little tired. And so I kind of wrote it off. And then I woke up on Sunday, not feeling great. And then Monday, I felt like I had been hit by a Mack truck. So the combination of COVID and perimenopausal symptom fatigue had just like, knocked me down, smacked me down to the ground. And, you know, all of my work went on the wayside, as you do when you don't feel good. And that's just the thing that happens, right? It's like, sometimes you got to take a sick day. And so now I am, you know, I've been in recovery for these past, you know, five or six days. And I am feeling like 80 times better for sure. I'm not 100% yet. And I don't know if you can kind of hear it in my voice, but I feel very sing-songy. Sometimes when you have a cold, it actually is good for you. It makes your voice sound better. I can't say that COVID makes your singing voice sound better. You guys have to be the judge of that. I don't feel like it makes it sound better, but there's something about being conscious of my chest as I'm singing that, like, you know, has made me want to belt things out. I can't explain the science. It doesn't matter. Who knows? Who cares? The point is that I pushed on through. I'm feeling better. And I could not let another week go by without talking to you, sitting down and having a conversation, because I was struck with inspiration this week. You know how I do. If you listen to the show, you know I'm somewhat of a TikToker in the sense that, yes, I do have my own channel. And every now and then I will drop some nuggets of wisdom. Every now and then I'll do something silly, like play around with a filter. I don't have any real intentional commitment around my TikTok usage. However, I do find myself swiping and I like to indulge in dating and relationship TikTok. Particularly women who talk about their dating lives is a fascinating, obviously fascinating topic for me because it's all of my ideal clients that are out there talking about their dating lives. Now, okay, I say that with a little caveat. The difference between a lot of these women and my ideal clients is that a lot of these women have made bad dating their content theme. So if they have a lot of followers and are doing really great with it, I think, you know, if it's in their best interest to continue to have bad dates and have a shitty love life, if they want to keep those checks coming in and increasing their following, because the stories are funny and they're interesting. I, for one, wouldn't want to necessarily compromise what I ultimately desire for, you know, followers or even, you know, a regular check. I don't think I'd want to compromise actually being in a loving relationship for that. But I'm not here to knock anybody's hustle. But I do find myself listening to a lot of these women. And, you know, of course, my heart goes out to them. And I have certain feelings about how I know I could support them to have a different experience. But I can't do that unless somebody wants to have a different experience. One thing I do know is a lot of these women speak for women who do want to have a different experience. Right. A lot of these women, you know, they use their dating life as content, as fodder, as, you know, comedy material. And, you know, the assumption is that deep down they do want to have a different experience. And I think that for many of them, they do. I don't want to, you know, cast aspersions or decide for anybody else what they should or shouldn't want. But also, if they didn't really want it deep down, the material wouldn't be so good. The comedy wouldn't be so funny. Which is the catch 22, right? Because how could they really be truthful and authentic and really funny with it unless that desire for things to be different was so strong? It needs to be that strong. And so I'm always inspired, you know, What would I say to these women? You know, how would I coach these women? What are some things that I would want them to know if they were to say to me, I really want to transform this thing? Like, I would rather have a loving relationship than a great TikTok account. I would rather have the happiness of a strong, healthy partnership than, you know, over 500,000 to a million followers. I haven't had one of them come to me and say that yet. But if they were to come to me, and for those of you who have already decided that you know you would rather have a healthy relationship than a grand social media account complaining about your love life. Those of you who are already clear about that, that's what today's show is about. Damn, that was a long ass intro. I mean, I don't know why y'all don't just sometimes say to me, Candace, girl, you just go on and on and on. I know what I do, but sometimes I need somebody to just say, look, just get to the point, sister. Let me get to the point. This week's show, 6 ways to block your love blessings, or 6 ways that you may already be blocking your love blessings, 6 ways that many of us block our love blessings, 6 main ways. Of course, as I always say, for every listicle that I come up with, there's usually a myriad of other possible ways that, you know, that represent what I'm talking about. So don't feel like this list is exhaustive. So let's start it. Let's get in it. Let's get in. You know what? The COVID still got a hold on me because putting my thoughts together is just, as an aside, I was talking to my man yesterday and he's a musician and he knows a lot about music. And we were talking about a song, a French song, Zooby Zooby Zoo. Zooby zooby zoo. And in the midst of talking about that song, because one of his bands plays that song, in the midst of talking about it, for some reason my brain adjusted and decided that we were talking about La Vie en Rose. So I started talking about Edith Piaf and how, you know, when Edith Piaf sings that song, it's so heart-wrenching. And I'm going on and on as if I'm still talking about the original song we were talking about. And it just turned out that my brain just flipped over. It just flipped to another song, another topic, another thing, without any indication, no road signs, no warning. No communication. I just flipped over. And he was so sweet and kind and loving and compassionate. He just went with it. And he waited until I figured it out to say, babe. For me to say, baby, I'm talking about a different song. And he's like, I thought so. But I didn't want to stop you midstream. Whatever, this aging thing, it ain't for the weak. All right, so 6 ways we block our love blessings. Way number one, and I had this semi-recently with a client who pushed this thing out of the way and is now in a loving relationship, creating the family that she wants. But the first one is caring about what other people think. Oh, lordy, 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 I could do a whole show about how we look for approval. And you know, all of us out here, independent, strong, powerful, professional women who act like we don't need nothing from nobody. We don't need anybody to give us permission. We don't need anybody to care about what we're doing. We don't need a yes to move forward. If you are still denying yourself a relationship with someone because you're afraid that your friends are going to have a judgment, if, you know, they're not going to fit in a way that you'd like for them to fit in, and even though you are happy with them and enjoying yourself and having a good time and, you know, feeling good about the relationship, or, you know, maybe there's a part of you that doesn't feel good about the relationship because you've had an issue in the past and you shared it with friends or family and they have their judgments about that person, or maybe they just have judgments about that person. Feeling like you got to meet up with someone else's approval with the person that you date, caring about what other people think as far as who you choose. Now think about it. Whoever you choose, oh, there goes the German Shepherd. Whoever you choose is going to be somebody that you are with on a regular basis. You are going to be the one to be in relationship with them. You are going to be the one that has to spend the time with them. Whoever you're worried about what they think is not going to have to be that person. So when we're walking around thinking, oh, is this someone that my mom will approve of? Is this someone that my siblings, my best friends, you know, is this someone that they will think is good enough for me? When we're worried about that, and so we deny ourselves someone based on that, it's just another way that we block our possible love blessings. Because I can tell you that just like our personal love relationships evolve, our partners' relationships with the people in our lives evolve as well. So, you know, what you want to look for, it's always great if everybody can mesh together. That's a wonderful, beautiful thing because it just makes everything easier, right? I'm not speaking against that. I do think that there's room for that within the list of priorities for whether someone is compatible with you or not. But when we, and I'll give you an example based on my previous client, she had been in relationship with someone. The relationship broke down because of communication issues and sort of a difference in lifestyle choices that wasn't a major one, but just, you know, it turns out that you know, he had a child, a young child, and when she learned about the young child, she felt as though they weren't going to have the experience of having babies, their first babies together, and so things started to deteriorate and break down, and, you know, she had done a lot of talking about it with friends and, you know, judgmental friends. And those friends had their opinions about him. And so when they were reconciling and really starting to understand that the important things were in place, the really important things, the core values were in place, and that they did really have deep love, affinity, connection, and intimacy with each other, she was afraid to go ahead and allow herself to give over to that because she was afraid of what her friends would say, mainly because she was one of those judgmental friends with her friends. Right. But also because she felt like she needed their approval in order for it to be OK. So, you know, if you're in that kind of position, that's how you block your love blessings. Time goes by no matter what. We lose time when we sit around wondering whether or not we should do something that feels good to us based on what someone else might say about it. Right? That's not to say that you're not supposed to want somebody who gets along great with your friends and family. But if you're sitting on the fence because you're worried about what someone else might say about someone who makes you feel happy, someone who makes you feel good, and your concern is that the other people around you that you love aren't going to like them, or they're not going to be able to get along with them, or they already have judgments about them, you are cutting off possibility for what blessings can be. And the possibility of their relationships evolving with that person, with that partner. Almost anything can be cleared through communication. Almost anything. I'm not going to say every single thing, because there are some things that, you know, for some people at different times in their life, they're too painful to clear it with communication. But at some point, I don't know of anything that can't be settled with communication, with clear communication, with openness, right? And obviously that takes, it takes for everyone to be open on some level. Now, if you're worried that the people who love you are never going to accept someone, then that's something to look at around the relationships you have with the people that love you. Right? Because they're not going to accept someone today, does that mean they're not going to accept them tomorrow? A lot can change. A lot can change. So that's number one, how we block our love blessings, caring about what other people think, making decisions based on what we think other people will feel about what we do. Number two, and we can, I could go on and do so many more shows on that because we can always have a conversation about it. If you want to have a conversation about it, you know where to find me. Number two, Not being clear about our future. So this is a big way that we block our love blessings because we're so unclear. It is easy, and I talk about this all the time. It is easy to lead with physical attraction. It is easy to look at someone for all the outside boxes that they check, all those superficial boxes that they check, and be like, yes, I can make it work based on all these great things they have about them. But it's not about like, you know, oh, I see these great aspects in this person, so that's going to dictate whether this person is good for me. And that's the backwards way that we often approach matching and dating and picking a partner. What it's about is I know what I'm creating for my future. I know what I envision for myself. And granted, you know, there's that saying, we make plans and God laughs. I totally believe that saying is true. However, when you think about manifestation and creating your vision and knowing that there's so many possible ways that your vision can come to fruition, it's just about having a level of clarity of, you know, well, what is the vision? Right? What is it that I'm looking to create? Am I someone who is highly entrepreneurial and I want to be able to be building businesses and creating passive income and, you know, making great investments and traveling the world? Am I someone who really wants to create a big, happy home life with children, biological and adopted, and, you know, make a difference in a lot of children's lives? Am I someone who wants to start a nonprofit and, you know, build a foundation that helps other people? Am I just someone who wants to be a volunteer, you know, and just be the best teacher that I could possibly be, or be the best, you know, whatever profession I've chosen, be the best at it, or just be really great at it for my own, you know, what feels good to me. Just do something that I love every day. Is it, you know, do I see myself living a life of creativity? Am I, you know, funding my life and my lifestyle through my self-expression, some sort of great creative thing that I do? Am I curing cancer? Like, whatever it is, you got to be so crystal clear about what does my future vision look like? How do I want to create it? And how am I willing to be flexible around it coming to fruition? When we're not clear, when we don't have that clarity, anyone can steer us onto their agenda. We can go any which way. We're all over the place as far as who may or may not be good for us. You know, we have nothing to align with as far as what's most important to us. So, you know, it's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with it. And as a matter of fact, early on in our adulthood, that's kind of the space that most of us are in. You know, when you're younger and immature and things like that. But that is how you block love blessings. That's how you block the ability to be able to really recognize your person from a mile away is just, I'm not really clear. You know, when I wasn't clear on what I was creating for the future, you know, I end up in a casual relationship with a 30-year-old who's kind of like, you know, not that responsible, doesn't really show up when they say they're going to, and, you know, basically just swinging dick, nothing much more to offer me because I'm just thinking, oh, let me just go with what attraction I'm feeling. I'm not saying there's anything morally wrong with it, but we're talking about what blocks the love blessings, what blocks us from being able to have those relationships that we want to have. And it's not things like, oh, you know, I go on dates, but I only meet shitty people. It's the belief that that's what it is. That'll block a love blessing. But it's not a lot of the things that we usually identify as the blocks. The next one is assuming the worst. So yeah, this is basically what I was talking about, this belief. Assuming the worst and dating based on your past experiences. Right. So if all my past dating experiences, and this is one of the ones that really makes me think of those TikTokers that are always complaining about their dating life. If my past experience is that, you know, either I've had bad relationships or I meet people that I'm incompatible with, or there's a lot of unworkability around the people that I'm meeting. They're just not, you know, either people I'm attracted to or people that you know, align with this vision that I have, if I am clear about my vision. And then I sort of approach my dating life with, dating sucks, dating in these streets, this is the worst, you know, I hate this. All the stuff that these content creators who complain about their dating lives, you know, this is what they're doing. They're like reinforcing, this is what my dating life looks like. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what's so frustrating for me. And there's nothing wrong with it. I have to keep reiterating that because this is not about shaming anybody for how they choose to express their frustration, because it is a frustrating thing, or their disappointment. You know, we got to have ways to have an outlet. There's nothing wrong with it. It's how does it block my love blessings? I'm making assumptions about people that I go out with, and I'm going to assume the worst because so far what I identify myself as experiencing is the worst. So already, you know, I meet people from online, and people from online suck, and they don't know how to treat me. And they show up in a way that doesn't work for me. And they don't wear the right things, and they don't say the right things, or they're inappropriate. They're overly sexual too soon. I'm not saying those things haven't happened, but when I approach my dating life like this is what dating is, and I'm dreading it every time I meet somebody new, I'm so nervous because I'm just dreading it. I'm just expecting for the worst to happen. This is how I block my love blessings, because I won't even leave myself open to recognize what is possible. So there was a Facebook post the other day, and the woman was talking about how a guy almost immediately before their first date asked her, what does she bring to the table? Now, we know that that's a douchey question for a man to ask a woman. It's like, come on. You know, I'm not a believer in that. I don't believe that women should be worried about what they bring to the table, in the sense that, you know, it's not about impressing a man with what you bring to the table. It's about just being in your own feminine, knowing about what you bring to the table and how valuable you are, and acting according to your value. That's all it is. Any man that says to you, I need to know what you bring to the table, probably is not, doesn't have his head on straight about, you know, the dynamics between men and women and what is a healthy dynamic. Being someone who he himself is self-reflective and provisionary, which, you know, that's the only kind of man that you want to be dating, not because you want to siphon everything off of him, but because if you know you're bringing your value and you are, you know, confident in your feminine energy around that, the only kind of man that you want to be dating is one who wants to be there to contribute, is not looking for what you're doing. I always say that for both people. When you're on the lookout for what the other person is doing for you, it's problematic. So anyway, post. Guy said early on, they hadn't even gone on a date yet, what do you bring to the table? And so there was all these women who'd responded to the post like, you know, block him, you know, whatever, tell him this and that, tell him off this way or that way. Somebody posted another woman's TikTok where she like gave this great response where she shuts him down and, you know, all of that stuff. The battle of the sexes, we go on and nothing good ever happens. And so with something like that, just as an example of not so great behavior early on. No, you know, I don't think that you should ignore it, because it is a sign of, you know, having a mentality that might not be workable for dating. But these are where we have opportunities to actually relate and communicate and see what's possible as far as growing together, because people are always going to make mistakes in these early stages. Get inquisitive. And that's what I commented on the post. Like, that's a time for asking questions. Like, well, what are you hoping to happen from that question? Like, have you ever had anybody answer that question in a way that works for you? And, you know, when you're asking me that question, what is your sort of intention behind it? Because it sounds like you're just trying to, like, do some sort of quick agenda thing. And that doesn't feel exciting to me as far as the possibility of us meeting. So I just wanted to find out if that's, you know, the direction you're going in. Like, there's a lot of room for just getting your feelings out of it, not responding through your trauma, your pain, your past dating experiences, not responding through all of the things that you already think you know about dating, and actually just talking to the person about how the communication landed on you and what they meant. Right? No assumptions, no wrong making, no accusing, no, I don't have to immediately block you because I'm in my trauma and I can't even deal with the fact that you said something that doesn't work for me. Like, those are the kind of things that block the love blessings, because they prevent us from relating with each other. Relating. Right? So no matter who you meet, at some point, they're going to say something fucked up that you don't like. At some point, it's going to happen. And whether it's on the first date, the first phone call, the first date, or, you know, months into it or years into it, it's going to happen. So this is what we're doing here. We're practicing, how do I handle it? And that doesn't mean that I ignore it. That doesn't mean that I make it okay, let them say whatever and ignore signs that it's going to be unworkable. What it means is, this is my opportunity to see if I can practice relating and communicating with this person. So if you say something to me that I feel is like, you know, off the cuff, like immediately I have a visceral reaction to it, I can ask myself, okay, why are you having a visceral reaction? Well, because I don't think a man should be asking a woman that. Okay, that's my opinion about it. That's the wrong making. Let me release that. And let me just talk to this person like an adult and see if they can hang with that. See if they can explain themselves and see if they can come up off of, you know, whatever stance they might have that had them ask that question. Maybe there's somebody who is just, you know, base level alpha male, you know, listening to all the other alpha male douchebags telling them, you know, make sure to get a high value woman and that she's not after your money and all of that, whatever that BS world. I've been in that world. It's a BS world. You know, like if I ask you questions just to find out and see if you can be in a conversation around it, I get to learn more and more if whatever assumptions I was trying to make are actually valid rather than just automatically making assumptions. Right. So we don't like the assuming the worst and then dating people based on those past experiences, immediately cutting off things that you don't like, turning away from people, you know, being so quick to make people wrong instead of just having a relating conversation with them about whatever it is that comes up, just to see what's possible and where it can go without any attachment, without needing them to be a certain way. Those are the kind of things that block our love blessings, the inability to do that. Oh, this time goes so fast. I'm already creeping up on half an hour. All right, so let's get to the last, what is it? The last three. So far, caring what other people think, not being clear about your future, assuming the worst and dating people based on those assumptions. Number four, speaking death into dating. So this one is like, you know, the astrology thing. So I can't ever date Gemini. So I had a bout where I dated probably about three or four Geminis in a row. Didn't work out with any of them. Does that mean that every Gemini I ever meet is going to be bad for me? No, it really doesn't. And I know some of you out there are like, yes, Candace, that's exactly what that means. But it really doesn't. It really doesn't. Because no matter how much you believe in astrology and believe in, you know, how the astrological signs dictate our personality, there are so many other layers and variables to what makes us who we are. And regardless of any of it, we are all a field of possibility. We are all the potential to be anything we want to be at any given moment based on any given experience. So if I say I can never go out with another Gemini, I could easily block a really amazing love blessing. I mean, I don't know why I use the example of Geminis, because they don't have a great dating reputation. But there are Geminis that fall in love and have great relationships every day, just like every other zodiac sign, right? There are Leos. I'm an Aquarius, so, you know, I tend to gravitate towards Leo friends because, you know, we get it. We get the whole Leo bigness. Like, we love it. Aquarians tend to love it. I don't think I've ever been in a love relationship with one, but I can't just generalize that every Leo is that certain kind of way. Not every Leo would I want to be friends with, right? Just like not every Leo or not every Gemini would be someone that I shouldn't date. You can't go by astrological sign. You can't go by a person's name. Like sometimes on social media, people will joke about, oh, you know, there was a post the other day, Chris's. Like, I've never dated a decent Chris. Does that mean that a decent Chris doesn't exist? Well, if you put that out there and that's your mentality, for you, I guess not. But this is how we block our love blessings, by, you know, speaking death into things and, you know, putting limits on things that are limitless. Right? We have to always remember that whatever our experiences have been on this world are just a little tiny, teeny, tiny, you know, microcosm of, I always say, on an amoeba, on a whatever is the smallest particle. I don't know, you science heads out there, a little atom, you know, whatever. It's like our experience in the grand scheme of what is possible of life is just so small and tiny. And so when we use our own experience to make these sweeping dictations about, who we should date, when there's just, you know, it's just such subjective information, it blocks our blessings. We limit ourselves down, and you never know. You might have dated, 10 horrible Jasons, and the Jason that is the love of your life and the perfect person for you, you don't want to reject him because of the 10 horrible ones that you met previously. And I know it's hard not to be like Pavlov's dog, but that doesn't work for life and it doesn't work for dating. Right? Yes, if you touch the fire and you get burned, you learn that fire is hot. But one guy named Chris and another guy named Chris aren't fire. They aren't the same guy. They just have the same name. And so it sounds so stupid and rudimentary, but it's amazing to me how many people really espouse to these ideas. And sometimes they say it jokingly, but, the truth comes out in jest. You are not looking for kind, patient, and interested. Things like that. Things like kind, patient, and interested are turnoffs to you. You consider those things to be boring. This is how we block our love blessings. When we think, those things that are part of humanity and human behavior, like positive human behavior, that we write them off as if that's something that everyone is trying to espouse to. Like everyone is not trying to be those things. So if you meet someone who has those things and maybe leads with those things and maybe has those things stronger than anything else, we got to learn to start valuing those things above everything else, because in the long run, those are going to be the things that, make your life livable when the sex is no longer viable, or when you're so old that you can't even do things by yourself, or, you're with your partner who's so old that they can't do things by themselves. Those basic positive human inherent personality traits, like being compassionate and kind and interested in other people, caring for other people, those are the kinds of things that need to be prioritized. And when we don't, we block our love blessings. When we prioritize either the superficial things or, things like cockiness, arrogance, overconfidence, or, what we consider to be like alpha male behavior for those of us who look for that sort of thing. We block our love blessings when we look for those things, when we prioritize those things as far as what we want. But when we're like, you know what? Nope. You got to be kind, patient, and interested. I don't care what else you're coming with. You got to be those things. You got to be compassionate. You got to be community oriented. You got to understand your placement in the world, that the world does not revolve around you. You have to be someone who's generous of spirit, generous of heart. You have to be someone who understands the importance of, taking care of the earth, or the importance of integrity and keeping their word. You got to be someone where those sorts of things are of highest priority, because without those things, a relationship becomes hell at some point, because those other good things will start to fade, like the sexual things, or, those other things that you think are so sexy and so, challenging to you, will lose their luster, and they'll start to feel like, abuse, neglect, nothing good. So there you have it. One more way that many clients I deal with have blocked their love blessings. Number 6, can't stop swiping. And by swiping, I'm not just talking about dating online. I mean, just that mentality that there's always somebody better. There's always going to be somebody better. I can meet somebody better. I know I can get somebody better than this person. So that's not to say you should settle for whoever you're with. It's date with discernment. But before discernment, actual just open appreciation. Open appreciation for those things that you like about people, and being willing to be grateful for those moments you have that are loving and wonderful moments that you can enjoy, and being able to just indulge in those moments, be in gratitude around those moments, and make those moments special for yourself, so that you can understand that at some point, you will have to make a choice, and there's not going to be anything outside of you that says, this is it, there's nothing better. You're the one who has to make that determination. You're the one who has to be able to say, I'm looking at this person, and it's not about something is indicating to me from outside. From the inner core of my being, I am making a choice because of what my gut is saying, right? I am making a choice that says, this is it. There's not going to be anything better. This is it. Now, I say that with a caveat. This is not settle mentality. This is not, I'm going to make something out of this. This is not, oh, it's not really what I want, but I know I can make it happen. It's not that. It's that sense of, I don't need to change this person. I don't need to fix this person. Being with this person is something I know I want to do. I'm choosing to love this person, which means that I'm going to know that there's going to be things about this person that are not my ideal, but I'm okay with it because the things that are ideal to me, I'm going to have those far outweigh the things that aren't as ideal. Right? And that goes back to conversation I always have about core value alignment. I'm going to think in terms of my highest core values. They align with my highest core values. That's a great reason to choose them and say, you know what? This is it. There's nothing better. It's a choice you make. It's not the white knight that comes and says, I am it. There is nothing better than me. It is not, you know, all the people around you saying, you have met the one. There is nothing better for you. If you're waiting for someone else to say it and going by their approval, if you're waiting for someone to tell you that they are it, you're blocking your love blessings, my sweetheart. You got to go with what you tell you, making that decision. This is it. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. And even if there is, I would never know it. I don't need to know it because this person is coming with all those core value things that align with who I am as a person, as a human being. I don't need to fix them. I may not like every aspect of them, but you know what? I don't need to fix it. My man right now, he uses a Google Pixel, which, whatever. I use an iPhone. I wish he had an iPhone, but I don't need to fix it. I love him. I love him. There might be some other guy out there who has an iPhone. Doesn't matter. I'm making the choice from within that the things about him that do align with my values, my actual core values, core value things that are actually important, those are the things that I'm going to focus on. Those are the things that make me say, this is it. This is what I choose. There's nothing better. I'm not looking for the next thing. Because you can spend your whole life looking for the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And until you snap yourself out of that mentality, you'll always be looking for the next thing. And some people spend years and years and years together with the hopes that the next thing is going to be better. Looking for the next thing to be better. And that's how we block our love blessings. All right, my sweethearts, I love you so much. I'm way over time. I went way longer than I planned to, as you do, as I tend to do. Anyway, you know, I have my program, my curriculum, Love Life Skills for Leaders, where I, you know, I have a very organized way to put you through your paces for 12 weeks. If you want to work with me, if you want to heal the past, love yourself unconditionally, start your love life over from a clean slate and be able to navigate these dating streets in a way that actually has you get in a relationship that you love, a relationship that has you really happy. The kind that you desire, the thing that you're looking for, if that's what you really want to do, if that's what you really want to create, you got to work with me. And you know, you can email me, Candace at CandaceHarperLoveCoach.com, and let me know you're interested, and we'll schedule a consultation. And I think that's it, my sweethearts. I love you so much. Thank you for spending another week with me. I'm back. Just send me good health and well wishes if any of y'all out there are, you know, positive on the Rona like myself. I send you love and good health and well wishes. And I ask for the same. And that's it. Follow me at Candy Love Coach on TikTok and on Instagram. And tune in next week for another episode. I love you so much. Until next time, keep being unapologetically lovable and give thyself grace, my sweet darling. I love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. You're delicious.